as a pastor, when I was a young preacher, I had a pastor who let me preach. So tonight, that's one reason he's preaching tonight, is because when I was, he's actually been preaching longer than me, if I'm not mistaken. But I want to be a pastor that lets people operate in their gifts, talents, and abilities. And guess what? Every once in a while, I want to be fed. And most of all, it's because God tells me to do what he tells me to do, and I'm obedient. And I'm looking forward for James to come tonight. But what I wanted to say about him is he's a very vital part of our church now, especially for me, for somebody that can, when I go out of town or I'm out somewhere and I can count on him to stand in this pulpit and preach, means a lot to me. And he's somebody that I count on, and I'm grateful for, and I'm glad God sent him here. And now we've got Ed back there, who's ordained man of God, and I'm glad that God's sending us preachers here. That's what's important. We gotta have that. It's like a little factory. You have evangelists, missionaries, pastors, preachers, teachers, so on. With that said, James, come bless the Lord and help us.
That's probably a better speech than you're half preaching. If you have your Bibles, will you turn to Proverbs chapter 6? And I'm thinking, why am I preaching this? Wednesday night after he preached on pride, I went up to him at church. I said, well, now the Lord is dealing with me with two messages. The other one I'd rather really preach, since it's the home church and it would have been a little bit more easier, I think. But that ain't what God said. And I said, so I've been wrestling with him about it, and then we go down there to the preacher's thing, and guess what? They talked about pride again. And then when we got out of there, the preacher talked about pride one more time to me. So I figured right there was enough telling me I need to do what it is. Now I'm going to try to do like the preacher did last night. He used some technology, I do not have. And but it's just to help me try to keep on track where I'm going. But I've never preached this before. I don't even think I've ever, I might have read it, when you go through the Bible and read your, through the year, but never really paid no attention to it that much until this week. And I think it was because I worked with a guy, and one of these, me and him is really, he was raised a lot different than I was, and he's had a lot more difficulty in life than I have in certain areas. He has to, that he deals with personally. He's got some demons. Well, I ain't saying demons in him, but he's got some things he deals with. One of them was pornography. He deals with really heavy. He's got a son that's a real bad drug addict and about to drive him and his mama just crazy. And then he has just been really hard, and I've been trying to, where the Lord's been doing it, the Lord's just trying to get me to talk to him, easy, not, kick him or his son, or because, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all probably be in some kind of sin. And there's a lot of different ones we could all get into. I'm just saying it was them two is really hard for him, and I see him and his wife every once in a while, and see what, this the strain on their marriage and the strain on each one of them trying to take care of this 30-year-old son that just seems like he's just falling and he just can't get up. Or don't want to get up. I don't know which one it is. But I told him about Kevin and called Kevin, and we're trying to get him in a rehab and all these kind of things. Because Kevin's the only preacher I've ever met that was in rehab. I ain't never met one. Then knowing that each one of us needs to be in rehab. because there's a lot of things that... he knows my situation. The preacher don't even know this one yet. But, they've been trying to get me to go to prison over there, and I went a couple times on a volunteer basis. Well, I got to go, I went three times, and I got one more visit for free. Well, they've been doing a background check on me, and it didn't turn out too good, so I can't go no more. So that's what little preacher you got up here. He's been a bad little boy. Your sins will find you out. No. And so, there's just a lot of things that I see in my life that, I heard different people talk about. The things you go through in life will help somebody else And what I've been going through in my life and what I had gone through in my life as a younger Christian, I got saved when I was 17, 18 years old. I got saved in 1980. And so when I got saved, I mean, they wasn't a revival, they wasn't a singing, they wasn't, and it didn't matter what kind, Church of God, Baptist, Methodist, it didn't matter. Me and my dad went to all of them because the way me and him looked at it, he got saved when he was 47, so me and him felt like we messed out on a lot of stuff. So we went to all of them. We caught up on everything. Me and him was more like friends. He was still my daddy, and I listened to what he said, and I know when he'd jerk a knot in me real quick. Because I remember that. I ain't going to go into details what I got myself into, but I know when I had to go before the judge and I was on a trial, that judge, they was asking my daddy some questions about me personally. And he said, well, now before he got saved, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for him, but now since he's got saved, now he's a boy I really like, and I vouch for him. But he said, "What y'all are accusing this boy of? If I found out that he did that, he would not been coming in here looking like the way he is right now." And that's what my daddy would have beat the bark plumb off of me if he thought I'd done something that stupid. So, you know, I was found innocent and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I went through a 4-day trial looking at life in prison. So, I seen what God's grace is. And going up the mountain that day after the thing, they went through the trial and all that for 4 days. And they just stayed gone 23 minutes. And they come back and said I was innocent of all everything. And I was going up the mountain, and God just said, "James, I never left you. I was always right there with you." Well, I don't even know how I got home. I squalled all the way home. So, because I always, when I went through that valley I was in, I was kind of like, you know, these people that can preach on eagles, and they say they go into a season in their life where they get down in the valley, and they stay down there, and they get stuff on their noses and stuff on their claws that they can't eat, and the other eagles come by and drop something down to feed them. But it's up to them eagles to eat and take back off again. Well, some of the eagles stay down in the valley and they never get back out because they just never rise again. So the Lord allowed me to get back up, and it's took me a long time to get back to where God wanted me to be. It ain't that I didn't want to leave him. It's just that I just didn't understand why all these things was happening. And I still don't. And I won't know till I get to heaven why. But I don't even know why I'm talking about all that. I ain't got nothing to do with the message. But in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, it said, "A proud look and a lying tongue and a hand that sheddeth innocent blood and a heart that devise wicked imagination, feet that swift to run and to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among his brethren." And I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we just thank you for this time that we're able to come before the throne of grace. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for Kevin and this church for allowing us to come today, God, and just giving us another chance, God. I thank you for loving me with that everlasting love. My daddy loved me, but not like you loved me, God. You loved me when I was unlovable. And God, I just thank you for your love and your mercy, and I ask you to bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. As we see this, the first couple of things we see in this is, he said, "And six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." An abomination is a pretty hateful thing God does not like. And as I looked at these, I thought each one of us, me especially, has every one of these characteristics in my mind or in my body. Because I think of myself a lot of times and get myself in a lot of trouble a lot of times because when I do one of these things, I get myself in trouble. And so when I get myself in trouble, the first thing I thought of is lust. And when I think of the lust, I think of it's a powerful emotions, and it's something to do with I want, especially when I was younger, I wanted money, I wanted a house, I wanted a car. I couldn't wait to buy me a riding lawnmower for the first time. I mean, I know that don't sound a lot to y'all, but if you pushed all the time, you know what I'm talking about. And I wanted money because I wanted a new car and I wanted everything everybody else had. I had a couple of friends there. Their daddies worked in real good jobs. So, you know, I had a 68 Dodge Coronet, four-door, blue and gray, more gray than blue, you know. And all these things, I didn't have the real nice car. Now, they had the real nice cars and I didn't have none of them. So I worked ever since I was a little kid to try to have these things. And I was lusting after what they had, and I wanted what they had, so I worked hard enough to try to get them things. But once I got them things, I wasn't satisfied. I was never happy. Now, I wasn't saved when I was doing all these things, but there's people that saved right now are not happy because they have not strived hard enough, feel like they've not strived hard enough to get where they want. And, you know, God's got us exactly where we are right now. You might be a plumber. You might be an electrician. You might be a sanitation worker like what I am. I mean, there ain't no lower job you can get where from where I'm at. I'm at the treatment plant down in Chattanooga. I'm right down there where it's all at. So you can't get no lower than I am. So if you think you can get low, you ain't low enough yet. So I think about lust and how lust always, when we look at somebody else's stuff, we look at their lives, their houses, their cars, their ever that thing. All them things didn't really do a whole lot for me after I got saved because I didn't care about them things. I know I went to a church up in Church Hill, Tennessee, and was running a revival up there. And I know you say, God, he went and run a revival. Yeah, I run a revival up there, and we had a deacon get saved. We had two or three Sunday school teachers get saved and all this. And the things about it was is they just didn't realize, as my daddy would say, you're missing it by 18 inches. You got it up here, but you didn't get it down here. Or you went to church all your life, and you think, well, since I went to church all my life, I'm saved. But no, that ain't the way it is. When I darted in the doors like my mom and them, most of my family were Church of God people. So, we would go to Church of God on Easter and Christmas and them nice holidays, you know. And I thought we done pretty good. I thought. And then one day God showed me I needed more than that. Now, my mom and daddy taught me morals. They taught me good, how to treat other people, not to think about stealing from other people or anything like that. If I'd have stole something, my daddy would have beat the bark plumb off of me. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be good at all. But, you know, we see lust here. I mean, there's a lot of things, and I think about David. I mean, when he got up there, and he didn't go to war like he was supposed to, and he got up there and seen Bathsheba, how you pronounce her name, right? But, you know, when he looked at that, he got to lusting at her, and then that messed him up. And it didn't just mess him up that one day. The rest of his whole life was messed up. You know, your sins will find you out. And them sins always, David was a man after God's own heart, and he was the king of Israel, and God loved him. He was the apple of God's eye and all that. I mean, you can't get no better than that. But David's sins followed him the rest of his life because of what he did. So we want to go to the next one, which I know nobody in here does this one right here besides Scott. Gluttony. I ain't talking about somebody all us other brothers, about 7, 8, 10 of us in a van, you know, when we go to the Crystal and eat at 10:30 at night, you know what our belly's like with this morning. We was like hangovers. I mean, it was rough this morning. And we didn't get to go eat the nice biscuits. We didn't get the ham or the cheese or whatever y'all eat over there. We eat them Crystals and went on about our business. And the lady that was in there waiting on us, she said, seen us, you know, all come in there. Once she said, where'd y'all all come from? I said, oh, we just come out of prison down here down the road, which they are a prison right down the road. She said, well, what are y'all doing? I said, oh, all these guys here is on a work detail, on a work release. She said, oh, you know. And then afterwards, she really asked me, she said, are y'all really out of prison? No. So, but I didn't let these guys know that. I was trying to help you out, preacher. But gluttony is a lot of things. I think about you know, somebody, it's mostly the description of gluttony is you eat too much. Well, I don't know nobody does that. But you know, I like eating. Now, when I was in my 20s, I could eat all day long and not gain 1 pound. But now when I'm 57 years old, almost 58 years old, if I can just look at a Twinkie, it's on. Or if I eat two or three biscuits at breakfast, it's on. But gluttony to me was more than just food. It's what we indulge our lives in. A lot of people are workaholics, and they'll go to their jobs and they'll work there till they just, I mean, from daylight to dark. But if you say anything about working in God's house or going on a visitation or going to a man's retreat, they can't never do it because they ain't got time. Because they glutton theirself all into this stuff and they're too tired or too old or too wore out to go do it anymore. So that's what I look at gluttony as, not just eating or drinking too much or whatever it is. You know, I know on TV, I don't know if y'all see this, we go through the channels every once in a while, and you know, it's got that My 600-Pound Life. We had a lady in our church, she wasn't on that TV show, but she and her husband was in that situation. And she was talking about that, she said, I got so big, I couldn't even go outside, I couldn't walk, I had to be pushed in a wheelchair and all these kind of things. Then after a while, she says, you know, it just like something come to herself, she says, I'm not going to be like this no more. And he said that, I'm not going to be like this anymore. And they went on some kind of diet. And I mean, she's not 600 pounds. She's probably 200 pounds. But it's a whole lot different than what she was. Now she can go to church. She can sing. She can teach Sunday school. She can do all the things she wants to. And her husband, I mean, you're talking about two singers now, buddy. They're great singers. And I just love them to death because we meet them sometime up here in Saudi Days and go out to eat because, I mean, they're just so lovable and so nice. But, you know, she said, I just had to set in my mind what I was going to do, and that's what you got to do. That's right with the Lord. You just got to set in your mind what you're going to do. You can't let the devil bother you. You can't let him get in there and start messing it all up and say, well, there ain't nothing but hypocrites at church or there ain't nothing over for me or anything like this because the truth is, if you go to work tomorrow, you're going to see every one of them you think about. You're going to see the hypocrites. You're going to see the liars. You're going to see the backstabbers. You're going to see every one of them kind of people. And, you know, all we are is people saved by grace. We're just, that's the only difference between us and them is that. So we look at gluttony. Now we're going to go down to greed. And it's defined as somebody wanting material wealth or gain. And I was trying to think of somebody maybe in this category that I knew, and the only person I could think of is my uncle, which I spoke of him one time before, which he really ain't my uncle anymore because him and my aunt divorced because he was visiting where he wasn't supposed to be visiting. So, I mean, the thing about him, he was one of these people. He was very intelligent. Not architect, but a, what is them people? I think of it, huh? You're blank. You ain't even there anyway, are you, preacher? No. But he engineer. He's an engineer. He was an engineer at combustion, very smart, very intelligent. I mean, could make money just boom, 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 boom. And, you know, I've told the story here one day that we rode, got on his boat. He had like a 68 foot long boat, all this kind of stuff. Had the, I mean, beds in it, had everything in it. And we was riding up the river, me and him and Daddy and our families was all riding up Tennessee River. And he was saying, I wonder what the poor people think. Boy, now you're talking about burnt my daddy up. That was the end of the ride. He was just, I mean, he says, I never get on this boat again. Because that's the way you think of other people. You look at other people because you're so, God made you to where you were so smart and you did get an engineering degree and you are smart and all that. But you ain't got to look down on people. And I think a lot of us, a lot of times, maybe not none of y'all, but I have looked down on people. I go down, we go down 11th Street a lot, 12th Street, which if you go down there to the missions down there, that's where most of the people go eat and stuff like that. They don't have a home or anything, and we look down on them. Or if we had black people start coming to this church, would we look down on them? Or if we had somebody come in here that just got out of prison, or somebody that's was a harlot, and everybody in this neighborhood knew she was a harlot, but she started coming to church here, would we honor her, or would we say, no, we don't want that kind of people here? What would we do as a people? Because we would look at them on the outside where God's looking at them in the heart. just kind of what he preached on this morning. Rahab the harlot, I mean, if you mention her name, everybody knows that name. But the thing about it is what God changed her heart about is what changed everything. And that's what, let's say I got on gluttony, got on lust, I got on, I've got to get my glasses on, I can't see. I'll get there in a second, baby, I'll get you. I told you this is going to cover everybody. Greed, And I think the preacher brought this out the other day when he talked about the rich man, and he was going to tear down his barns, build bigger barns, and want to have more. And that's kind of the way my uncle was. He didn't care about life. He didn't care. I mean, his brother died. One of his sisters got killed. He didn't even come to the funeral because he was too busy working. He didn't care nothing about none of that. And that was his own flesh and blood. But there's people out there who cares more about things like that, material things, than they do about God or their own family. So greed is a really bad thing to have. And I know none of us has got none of these that I mentioned so far, right? Shake her little head. There we go. Okay, now 4, slothfulness. Now this is where me and this guy at work I work with. I work for the city. We don't do nothing, right? Yeah, okay. That's what everybody says. But if he's so lazy, he won't even breathe. I thought, my Lord, buddy, you got to do something every once in a while. You got to breathe. I ain't going to breathe for you. And he's a great guy, great singer. I mean, he can do lots of things, but he is so lazy, I don't even think he'd move unless he has to. I mean, he wears the same clothes every day. He comes in the same way every day. And I mean, he's so lazy, he won't even change clothes or take a bath. And I'm thinking, dude, something's got to give here. One of us has got to have some relief. But that is a lot of people is. They're so lazy. The new generation, we talk about them a lot of times and how bad it is for them and all that. But I look at us as parents and grandparents, which I got 6 grandkids. We have not taught our kids anything about work. Now, I'd say some of the people up here on the mountain, y'all know what work's all about. But there's some of our kids, they don't know nothing but says, Daddy, can I have some money? Used to, when I'd go to Daddy, it'd be $5, but now it'd probably be $50 or $20 before you could even get off the mountain real good. And the thing about it is, these people here, and as we see in our lives, that people that need this money or whatever they need in their lives, man, they just don't think nothing about none of their lives. Let's see. Let me go down. Lust, greed, slothfulness, being lazy. Lord, that's one thing I can't stand, preacher. I can't stand a lazy person. And I don't even think God liked lazy people. Because he said in the Bible, he said, if you don't work, you don't eat. And I think that's the way it is. I think a person that won't work, I believe in welfare to a extent if these people is mentally can't do work or they're physically, they can't do nothing anymore. I believe in helping them, but these physical able-bodied people that can work, I believe they need to be out there getting it. If it's just picking up trash, they need to do something. Just giving them a free hand is not my cup of tea. I wasn't raised that way. And maybe that's not politically correct anymore, but I'm sorry. Okay, we're going to end. We said we was got off of slothfulness. 5, anger. Oh, Lord. This is my worst one. I was talking to the preacher and Scott the other night, and I guess confession is good for the soul. I don't know. But anger is my worst thing. My papaw and my grand, all of them is Irish, Dutch Irish. They're stubborn and they're hot-headed. And you can light a candle, and we don't need the match. We can light it for you. I mean, we don't need nothing to get nothing started. But I don't like it. I hate it. And I tell my mama, I says, I love you, Mama, but I wish I was like Daddy. Because Daddy was the easiest going, calmest person, never got upset about nothing or anything. Mama, you can just look at her the wrong way, and it's on. And I mean, and her whole family's like that. We go up there to a family reunion like that. Now, up there, most of them are Alabama fans. And it is in a foreign country. But you can go up there and you can mention Tennessee, Georgia, Auburn. You don't want to even think about Auburn. Up there, and you can get a fight in a second. Now, I got had a great uncle. He was my grandmother's brother. And he was a tall guy, Harold Smith. You might remember him. Howard Smith was one of my kin folks. And we was out at a Christmas dinner over in Fort Oglethorpe eating. And we was over there eating and having a good time and all that, and we got talking football. Well, me and Howard stepped outside, and I said, well, what do you think it's going to be like this year, and da-da-da-da, and all this kind of stuff like we do sometimes. And he said, I tell you what, James, you say anything else about Alabama, and I'm just going to have to cut you right here. And he meant it. Ken or no Ken, he was going to cut me because that's how serious they take it. And, you know, and I just thought that was so silly because, I mean, I like football, but I don't like football that well. I mean, I don't like nothing that way. I guess, me and Ken talked about church on the van last night. And I said, you know, I mean, he said, you know, used to I didn't even care nothing about going to church or going to church that much. But he said, since I got going to church and coming up here, I really like coming now. I've always, since I got saved, love to come to church just to find out what God's going to do next. Because, I mean, he does, you don't know what he's going to do. I mean, he might save somebody, he might shout the house down, he might make everybody run the aisles, or he might make everybody have a squalling fest. So I don't want to miss that because I want to see what's going to happen. So, I mean, you know, as we see these, I say, what less I got? I got one more, I think. Oh, anger. Oh, that's what it's talking about. Preacher, I got notes and I'm still messed up. Anger is the worst, my worst enemy. I hate that stuff. But I don't know how to, I pray and ask God, fasted, prayed, pulled my shoes off, lay on the floor. It don't matter. We had this deacon at our church, Mr. Hartline, which he knows him, and him and God was like that. I'm talking about, he prayed, you talked with him and God were more, they was tight. And I've never met a man or been around another man like him. He was scary. And not scary in a sense, but he was just him and God was so tight. And so me and him a lot of times would talk about stuff. And he said, James, he says, your worst enemy is that. My worst enemy is these things I put in my mouth every day. And he said, I've asked God, I prayed, I fasted, I've done everything, asking God to get rid of these things. And he said, I just can't. And I don't know why. He said, I don't know why. But now, I mean, him and God was the closest two people I've ever been around in my life, was that. But he could not put down smoking. Now, I ain't saying that's the worst sin or nothing. I mean, my daddy did it, and all my kin folks do it, and I just didn't do it because I had a football coach who'd beat the bark off of you if he caught one in your mouth. And that was probably the only reason I didn't do it. But then we're going to go one more. It says wrath. Now we're going to pride. Pride is really the very first thing that's mentioned in this scripture up here. A proud look. Now that's the worst thing that anybody in this building can have is too much pride. Because then you are looking down at people. You're going to envy at people. You're going to lust at other people. You're going to have greed towards them people. And everything that our emotions is about pride. Pride will take you down further than you will want to go. Because, you know, the preacher was talking about this morning when we were doing the invitation, you know, that's what kept most people from coming to the altar. And that's what'll keep most people, that's what most people will be in hell over is their pride. Because they would never bend or bow or ask God to forgive them no matter what. You know, and that was something, I guess, God had to break me from because I know I don't look like it now, but 40 years ago when I played football and all that in high school, you know, I could, you know, bench press and I could run like a deer and I could do these things and I could play baseball and I had two colleges looking at me when I played baseball. So, but my grades was terrible. But anyway, I could play ball. But the thing about it is my pride. Boy, I thought I was somebody now, Brother Steve. I thought I was somebody. I was a man on campus. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about, preacher? You been there? Is any of y'all others, y'all roosters back through there going, whoop, 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 whoop. Yeah, we was, you know, every girl in here wants us. We on the ball team. We got it all made. Now, let's don't leave the girls out. Now, look at me. Hey, girl, you looking good today. You know, I know how y'all are. Y'all was in the same thing on that pride thing. Y'all going there and put, that makeup on. I ain't mentioned nothing about makeup today, okay. And y'all get all dolled up, look good, and all these kind of things. And boy, I'm telling you, that pride is all built up. Boy, I'm looking like a peacock. I'm looking good, and I'm doing all these kind of things. But pride will bring you down. Now, I don't want none of y'all to think. I don't want y'all to come in here without a makeup on. Bless God. We'll think we have a new congregation. Oh, preacher. I love that woman back there. I ain't telling. Mavin, don't let nobody know. No, I said that. But me and her have lots of fun. And I love people. I mean, and that's what something God's put in me. I don't want to have the pride. I don't want to have envy. I don't want to want what somebody else is wanting. And you know, in every one of these things, if you think what God said, what they say that was the greatest commandment? It says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. If you do them things right there, you'll be a great person. You'll be like Mr. Hartline was. They wasn't a person on that mountain that didn't love Mr. Hartline, because everybody knew what he was at work, at church, out in the store. Nobody where he was at. He was always the same person. And he loved God. He had talked to you about God in the parking lot. He had talked to you about it in the woods. When we'd haul hay, he had talked to you about God. I mean, he was just very influential in my life when I got saved. And I'm pretty well covered there, preacher. I got all seven of them down. But I'm going to read one more verse, or a couple of verses, and then I'm going to be done. And this is in James, and this is about another thing we have bad. Chapter 3. And I'm not going to start reading at the verse. I'm going to start at verse 5. It says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great is a member that kindles a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire of world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body. Now you just think of what I've been preaching on or talking about. It is set on fire in the course of the nature, and is set on fire of hell. That's that thing that's set behind them ivory teeth in there, gets us in more trouble than anything it will. It says, and for every kind of beast and a bird and a serpent and the things that are in the sea are tame and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And wherefore bless we God, even our Father, with it. Curse we men, where we make after the subtlety of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursings. My brother, these things ought not to be. And that's the thing about our tongue. So I was saying all these seven deadly sins shouldn't be mentioned in our bodies. Because Paul, if you get into Paul's readings, and if you read the rest of this about in James, you'll find out that God was saying us to put our bodies in subjection to Christ. And if we put our bodies in the subjection of Christ, then we won't do these things. We won't be prideful. We won't lust after nobody else. And when we do see things, we'll keep this big thing here shut. Because this thing right here is what sets the world on fire and hurts more people. And what the Bible tells us, to bless people and not curse them. And that's what we should be doing, is helping people and not curse them with them. So I'm just going to go to the Lord in prayer. If you want to get a verse of a song, we'll have an invitation real quick. And then we'll be ready to rock and roll. Scott, you gonna sing one, baby? I could sing, but you know how that'd be. I was looking at her and probably said, been looking at you, I'm sorry.